In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
You bet. Let's yes. All go to the lobby. Everybody's Let's back today to here in studio, including Let's Alan Adams, who joins us for Pass the Popcorn. Welcome back, and welcome back to the working week.
Yeah, no, we were on vacation this last week, Sheridan and I, and I went back to work. I was telling, not telling anyone really, but. Due to the nature of my new job versus the nature of my old job, this was the first extended period of like no work that I've had in close to 20 years.
Wow.
So it was weird. It was great. Going back today was tough. Like I'm not going to lie. Like it was one of those things where it's, it had been a long time since I had gone 9 consecutive days without working. And so, going back to the office, it's like, we'll say, things didn't go super like we kept things leisurely this morning. We'll put it that way. but no, it's it's good to be back, and I've got some scattered days off through the rest of the summer here, so it's gonna be good. It's nice to be back in here. I missed you guys.
Well, and I took last week off. Carrie was gone, and it's one of maybe 2 weeks out of the year, if that, when I don't do anything.
Right.
I don't do well with that. By about Wednesday, I was the weather wasn't great either. That didn't
right.
Help.
That did,
the,
yeah.
The weather had been better, but I need a place to go on a regular basis, or I get into bad habits. I eat too much. I just get lazy.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the way things sort of shook out, it worked out nicely for us, just because, we had the week on the first, we went down to Southern Maine for our niece's birthday. And then, there was the fourth. We didn't do anything for the fourth except stay home and listen and watch a very loud movie. so that, try to keep Stella calm. But then we went down east. We went to camp for a little bit. We went and visited my in-laws, Sheridan's parents. And then this weekend, we had a big wedding celebration. So it was just We kept things moving. It was nice.
Yeah, when you had your own anniversary.
Yep, our anniversary. Sheridan's birthday. Our anniversary and Sheridan's birthday were both on Friday, which was lovely.
Yeah.
And in between there, watched some television, read a couple of books, a couple of good ones. The Art Thief by Michael Finkel was a pretty good one. That one's either just out or about to come out.
Now, we had Michael on the show when he wrote the book about
the Stranger in the Woods.
Yeah,
yeah. You should have him back because this one's pretty solid. It's about a notorious French art thief who considered himself an aesthete, and it wasn't about profit. It was about art and all like beauty, and it's very interesting. And then the other one was it's a book. I forget the name of the author, but it was written in collaboration with the longtime Major League Baseball player Eric Kratz.
Oh,
and it's called The Tao of the Backup Catcher.
I love it.
Yeah, and it's basically Eric Kratz's sort of journey from high school to D3 college to working his way through the minors and eventually carving out a niche as a backup catcher, and sort of also introducing the sort of fundamental philosophies that go into being a backup catcher, including talking to other guys who spent a long time, because that's one of those sort of Major League Baseball careers where if you're a good guy and you know how to catch and throw the ball, like you can be around for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
So that was a really great read, and just generally took it easy. It was nice.
And we were at the wedding you were at on Saturday, our friends Alec and Bethany. What a beautiful wedding.
It was lovely. That there's this gorgeous space out in, let's be real, the middle of nowhere.
Oh God, yes.
And it was just like you just come up on the space, and it's just like rolling vistas and these beautiful structures, and the food was great, the drink was great. It was a wonderful party. We made it to 9 o'clock, by all accounts, things were just getting started.
Oh really?
When we rolled out, and. Yeah, I was. We were there long enough to see the groom take his shirt off, and it's like, okay, we should probably go.
It's time to go.
But no, it was a marvelous time. The ceremony was beautiful. They're an absolutely radiant couple, and we wish them nothing but happiness going forward.
That was fun. A lot of theater people there.
Yeah, a lot of theater crew, and a really eclectic mix of people actually, and that's always fun at a wedding. Like, it's always nice to sort of encounter different people. We had a blast. We stayed down there overnight. So we went back to the hotel, hung out, and just had a lovely weekend.
Nice.
And so as you might imagine, movie going not necessarily top of the priority list.
Well, no. Did you see anything?
Well, we watched a new Netflix movie this past yesterday actually called The Outlaws.
Yes.
Starring Adam Devine, Pierce Brosnan's in it, Ellen Barkin. A really great cast. Not a great movie. But I figured we'd talk about that, and then we could have a discussion, because we didn't get a chance last week. We could talk about the new Indiana Jones movie, if you would like.
Absolutely. Well, let's start with The Outlaws.
Sure. We've talked about this, the quantity over quality sort of ethos of Netflix. This is the sort of movie that kind of embodies that, in that it's perfectly fine, but it's not the sort of movie that is particularly memorable. Like, I'm not feeling like I, need to, heartily recommend it, but if you got an hour and a half to kill and nothing really else going on, like, this is it's an okay watch. The basic gist is Adam Devine's Devine. I never know. He plays bank manager Owen Browning. He's about to get married to his fiance, played by Nina Dobrev. And he's a bank manager. She's a yoga instructor. And, they've got complicated interpersonal dynamics. His parents think she's a stripper. His parents, by the way, played marvelously by Richard Kind and Julie Haggerty.
Oh man,
yeah, great pairing. And so it's a whole thing. And then surprise, surprise! Turns out her parents, who have been living in the Amazon for years, studying one of the native tribes, are actually going to be able to attend the wedding. And as we find out, Owen has yet to meet her parents. And so when they show up and are Pierce Brosnan and Ellen Barkin, you can imagine the guy's maybe a little bit intimidated. But it only gets more complicated as, it becomes clear that maybe her parents don't think he's good enough for their daughter. Then his bank gets robbed.
Oh, dear.
Not only that, but he has a sneaking suspicion that the robbers might be his fiance's parents.
Oh. Ooh.
His future in-laws could be outlaws. Yeah. That's the kind of subtlety we're talking about with this movie. It's fine. Like, it's fine. Like, there are a couple of good gags. Like, Adam Devine is perfectly charming in a schlubby kind of goofball way. Honestly, the highlights are clearly the sets of parents, because Richard Kind and Julie Haggerty really leaning into the sort of general disregard for both their son's fiance and their son. Like, it's equal opportunity. And then you have the effortless sort of cool of Pierce Brosnan and Ellen Barkin, who cut quite a striking couple despite the fact that they're both well into their dotage. It's one of those movies where, like, the plot gets pretty ridiculous pretty quickly. Things get needlessly convoluted in a number of ways. The supporting cast features a number of familiar faces, some of whose names you'll know, and some of them are just like, oh yeah, that guy / girl / whoever. It's not the sort of movie that's going to blow your hair back. Not a movie that's particularly memorable in any way. But as far as, like, passing the time, which ultimately seems to be all Netflix really cares about, it's perfectly acceptable.
All right, there you go. What about Indy and The Dial of Destiny, the final go round?
Man, I tell you what, like, I was, I had complicated feelings going into this movie, simply because I love Raiders of the Lost Ark.
No, me too.
I have a real soft spot for Temple of Doom, despite its deeply problematic nature. I'm a fan of Last Crusade, and that's it, right? There's just those three before this one. No, I joke. Indiana Jones and the Crystal Skull, which introduced Shia LaBeouf. We had Indy survive a nuclear blast inside of a refrigerator, and I'm pretty sure there were aliens at one point. Uh-huh. So I think it's better for all of us if we just sort of cruise on by, yeah, Crystal Skull and move on to the Dial of Destiny, which is set primarily in 1969, although we do have a few extended flashbacks to World War II era, where we see Indy do battle with the Nazis. I'm always here for Indiana Jones punching some Nazis.
Absolutely. Man,
like, that's the good stuff. The de-aging, a little distracting at first, but yeah, they're getting better. They're getting better at it. You know what I mean?
So it's better, like, than, the Scorsese movie?
Oh, The Irishman. Yes, yeah. It is significantly better than The Irishman. Well, I think it benefits by the from the fact that Harrison Ford is in significantly better shape than De Niro was.
Yes.
And so he doesn't, you know, it's not like you've got this like weird old man moving around with like a young face. Like it kind of works. So that's great. But yeah, it's basically primarily set in 1969, where Indy is still teaching, although he's frustrated with these kids today.
Damn kids.
They don't understand. Like, they don't care about stuff. They're not paying attention in class. They're a bunch of hippies. All they care about is space. He's retiring. And so, as part of that, we meet his goddaughter, his heretofore never before seen, goddaughter, played by Phoebe Waller-Bridge, who is excellent in this movie. I mean, she's excellent in everything, so it shouldn't come as any sort of surprise, but she's great. It's a great fit for this. She has come to reconnect with her godfather now that her own father, an old friend of Indy's, has passed away. We meet him in the flashbacks, played by Toby Jones. Ah. And one of the things that they do when they're sort of fighting the Nazis, they're trying to reclaim a number of relics from the evil Nazi played by Mads Mikkelsen, who is like, you don't want to say like he's the perfect Nazi, because that feels like a mean thing to say,
right.
But he's so perfect as a Nazi. But one of the relics that they're trying to reclaim is Archimedes' dial. And legend has it that Archimedes used math to basically figure out how to predict fissures in time. And so the idea is that you would be able to use this dial's power to travel back in time. Where there's a big fight on a train, Indy retrieves the dial, and they head back and go about their lives. But as it turns out, you know, some of the dead Nazis, not so dead after all.
Oh.
They have been brought to America by NASA because, well, that's something we did. Sorry. I mean, yeah, Operation Paperclip. It's a real thing. Yep. Look it up. Obviously help, turn their rocketry expertise toward the space program. And this being said in 1969, obviously there's a lot of space stuff, a lot of Vietnam War stuff. But one of these Nazis wants to reclaim this dial because, well, he wants to go back. He wants to go back and fix the mistakes that were made.
Here.
As you might imagine, Indy doesn't want that to happen.
No.
But his goddaughter turns out not the most moral person, and so has plans of her own for the dial. And then we're off on a globe-trotting adventure, traveling by map, as we always love to do in the Indiana Jones movies.
Love it.
And generally just, crisscrossing the globe, winding up in various places. And, I don't want to say too much more because I don't want to spoil it for folks because, it's a pretty intricate plot and there's a lot going on a few surprises in there.
And I think everybody knows we get to see Marion Ravenwood again.
Yep, she comes back, which is great. You know, we don't see Mutt, Shia LaBeouf's character, from the previous film, for reasons that are kind of sad. I'm not going to go into it, yeah. But
are they though? Are they sad?
you know, in the large history of our nation, sad. As far as saying goodbye to Shia. Well, yeah, sorry, bud. You had your shot.
Right.
But there were a lot of people who I think kind of went into this like with a preconceived notion that they weren't gonna like it. Mm. You know what I mean? Yep. Like just like, oh, it's like, you know, it's been too long. Like let you know, it's the last movie being such a dog didn't help. But this is, it's actually a pretty solid like action adventure movie. Like, does it live up to the, you know, to the originals? No, not really. But I mean, you can't expect that. Like, it's a different time,
right?
You know, and they do take advantage of the available technologies to create not only a young looking Indiana Jones, but to also let 80-year-old Harrison Ford do a lot of stuff that that he probably shouldn't have been doing. But it was, but it really worked. Like I said, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, phenomenal. John Rhys-Davies comes back.
Nice.
We get him for a few scenes. Salah is awesome. and it's just like, and it's just one of those things where you see these guys and it's like they're older, but they're still the same. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And there's something really rewarding about that, especially for someone who grew up with those movies. It's just like, oh, you know, like time marches on, but. You know, it's like they're still doing it. They're still out there. They're still, kicking ass and taking names, as they say. And it's just, it was just, I had a lot of fun. The last quarter of the movie is absolutely bonkers for any number of reasons that I won't go into because spoilers. But it gets nuts at the end in a wonderful way. It doesn't make a ton of sense, but that's okay. Like, the Indiana Jones movies never really concerned themselves too much with making sense. One of my favorite parts is that, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, has a street urchin sidekick of her own, which is a throwback to Temple of Doom, yeah. for those, who remember, Short Round with fondness. I count myself among them.
Yes.
It's just one of those things where it's okay to just have some fun at the movies,
yeah.
You know, and it's nice to spend time with characters that we remember. But it's not like, you know, it's not Trapped in Amber, which I think it's an apt analogy, mm. considering like Indiana Jones is an archaeologist. You know, it doesn't, you know, it's, you can call it a relic, but it's also still worth experiencing, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just this wonderful sort of example of, you know, they're not trying to reinvent the wheel here, and they're not trying to, you know, it's not a situation where, you know, it's the same sort of swashbuckling, you know, character. It's, you know, acknowledges the realities of age in a way that I think is handled pretty well. And again, you know, there's some stuff where you're like, okay, an 80-year-old man is not going to do this, regardless of how good, you know, how well he's kept himself up, particularly in the late 60s. But, you know, it's close enough where you're just like, okay, so we're acknowledging the passage of time in a way that some of these action franchises simply refuse to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of nice. You know, and as far as sort of, you know, putting a button on the sort of the Indiana Jones saga, I mean, it was, you know, it's never going to be perfect. But as far as efforts go, this is a pretty good one.
Nice. Awesome. Thank you, Alan.
Hey, my pleasure.
Alan Adams talking movies with us here on Downtown.